today, the suspense is over. We have a new head of the Reserve Bank. Can you feel the excitement?
Oh, yeah.
It's sensational, isn't it? But have they chosen the right man for the gig? Mick thinks not. Full details coming up. Also today, should brothels and sex shops be allowed to advertise at the CES? Mick unveils his latest experiment with virtual reality, and we'll take a trip to the Martin Molloy Animal Hospital. We're always on for some true confessions and a bit of Radio Gladiators action, and joining us live, it's that lovable old hippie, Richard Neville. Yes, it's all coming up on the program, whose hosts will next week be touring the capital cities for a series of official Rotten Tomato parades. Martin Molloy.
What?
Have a little faith is the tune. Martin Molloy is the program right around Australia on a Thursday with myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke here, the first of the young Australian fashion designers to be signed up by the Anita Keating Studio. Mick Molloy.
Two words to you, Martin. Fishnet tracky decks.
Oh, really?
It can work!
Is that right? And weren't you the man who said 96 was going to be year of the poncho?
I did.
I haven't seen much evidence of it yet, except for yourself.
Well, there you go. I'm leading the way. Everyone will be wearing them next week, Tone.
Well, you keep punching, Mickey, but what else is happening?
Well, big news, Tone. The Treasurer, Mr. Costello, unveiled his sweeping changes to the Reserve Bank of Australia yesterday, and the big news came when he announced the appointment of Mr. Ian Macfarlane, who will replace Mr. Bernie Fraser as head of the Reserve Bank.
Right.
Now, Tone, I've got to say, I'm not sorry to see Bernie go. Not that he wasn't doing a good job. It's just that I never quite came to terms with the fact that the chief of our most powerful and important financial institution was called Bernie. It just doesn't seem right somehow. Hey, everyone, how can we keep inflation down to effect a further cut in interest rates without jeopardising long-term job growth? I know. Let's ask Bernie. Why don't we just hand the keys to the economy over to a bloke called Dutch or Chook? What about Knackers? Hey, Knackers, what do you make of the latest balance of payment figures?
Can't see it myself. What about Lance?
Oh, yeah.
Keanu. Why don't we just let Paula Yates name our next Reserve Bank chief?
Bernie.
Yeah.
Bernie. I'd honestly feel more comfortable with a bloke called Potsy at the helm. Bernie. Sounds like one of the Wiggles. Is that why he's leaving? Can't run the Reserve Bank and meet his touring commitments at the same time. And who's this bloke? Ian Macfarlane.
Has he got the job?
He's got the job.
I thought George Clooney was the next head of the Reserve Bank. That's what I've been reading.
Yeah, if Val Kilmer doesn't decide to step down. Ian Macfarlane just doesn't have the same ring to it as Bernie.
No.
Hang on. I don't mind Macca. That could work. Hey, Macca,
yeah.
What's our dollar trading at? Yeah, that could have legs. Mind you, I've got to ask, is he the best man for the job? Because there's a huge pool of talent out there, Tome.
Right.
And I hope they haven't rushed into this. Who else? Well, I mean, there's lots of goofy names. There's lots of people who could have carried on the mantle.
Sure.
Was Baby John Burgess ever mentioned?
Well,
I know he's available.
Yeah,
he'd be perfect. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the new head of the Reserve Bank of Australia, Baby John Burgess. And then, just at the height of his popularity, replace him with Tony Barber. Oh, gee, that'd get the oldies writing letters to the Financial Review, wouldn't it? I, for one, will not continue to support the Reserve Bank until Baby John is put back in charge. Tony Barber is annoying, never shuts up, and can't release the latest current account figures without bursting into song. Sorry, Reserve Bank, you and your monetary policy stink. Disgruntled Baby John Burgess fan. There's an enormous pool of talent out there. What about Fatty Vorton?
Okay, oh, yes.
I know he's got footy show commitments, but he'd be perfect for the gig. We could have the first Reserve Bank chief in history who doesn't mind dragging up for a press conference. A Sterlo can be sitting beside him dressed as a Smurf. Can you have a duo? Can you have a duo as head of the bank?
I don't know. I'm just looking forward to the prospect of going down to Fatty's bank. Fat bank. Can I put it on my fat car?
You certainly can. Duos, that'd be good. We could have Hale and Pace. What about Molly? Molly, he could work. Who's that host of the new Sex Life program?
It's Totty Goldsmith.
Totty?
Yeah.
Now, that sounds like a Reserve Bank chief to me. Oh, hang on. Can you have a Reserve Bank chief who's taken their clothes off for Black and White magazine?
Ooh.
Bernie did.
Oh, did he?
No one seemed to worry. Yeah. Anyway, good luck to you, Macca. And remember, it's a big job. And when things get tough, the chips are down and you can't see any way out of the mire, the darkness. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. Just sit down, think to yourself, what would Bernie do?
You've been well here.
Malloy, and I'm just looking at the political issues, the thorny political footballs of the day, Mickey. And, of course, a lot of talk in the papers today about the government's decision to slash $400 million from Aboriginal funding. And not surprisingly, Pauline Hanson, the Queensland Independent MP for Oxley, says the cuts don't go far enough. Do you get the feeling that cake shop of hers is built on tribal land? Something going on there with Pauline. But anyway, I actually had a cab driver yesterday who I reckon could be the next Mr. Pauline Hanson.
Oh, really?
If he plays his cards right. He's talking about the government cuts. And he said, and please don't be offended, this is what he actually said. It doesn't worry me. Aboriginals, they've had it too easy for too long. The ABC, a lot of boring crap. Women's netball, who watches it anyway? And universities, well, let them all find jobs in the real world, I say. And then he said to me, anyway, who are you, mate? I've said, my name's Professor Mandawai Yunapingu, PhD. I'm the new host of the 7:30 Report. Pleased to meet you. But he's on this tirade, and all the while I'm thinking, if you just gave up hot chips for a week, I reckon you'd save enough to fund all the stuff you slagging off. But I didn't say it, of course.
He could be the next head of the Reserve Bank.
He could
right
be
there.
But another thorny one today, and this is, I think, an even bigger one. Mm-hmm. The federal government has been asked to allow CES officers to advertise job vacancies in brothels and sex shops. The president of the Eros Foundation, who I think represent workers in the blue trades, also believes federal assistance under labour market programs should be offered to tabletop dancing joints and escort agencies if they find work for the long-term unemployed. Now, I think that's fair enough, Mick. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're providing young people with valuable on-the-job training.
Correct.
More power to them, but it is a bit of a prickly one down at the CES. Whether little cards advertising pants-free work and gigs at shops selling parts and accessories for the downstairs department should be displayed up on the cork boards with the more run-of-the-mill apprentice mechanic required type notices. Mm-hmm. And I reckon the answer's simple. Make the CES like your video shop. Have an adult section down the back. You know that little blue nook, that seedy little alcove up the back past documentaries and nostalgia? Potential employees could slink in wearing a long coat and sunnies, say to the receptionist, you look, these jobs are all great, but have you got anything out the back, as it were? Yes, sir, just turn left at Fitters and Turners, look for the pink partition, knock twice and ask for Spiro. So, you know, you pop down the back through the curtains and, you know, to check out the jobs. Hey, show us your part-time positions. But obviously it'd be like $10 to get in and you'd only be able to look at the vacancy cards for 30 seconds at a time. But you'd do that, peruse the jobs, and then immediately afterwards feel somehow empty and inadequate. Yeah, they were great jobs, but I'm not sure if they were real. Of course, there'll be a lot of people. Do you think I can run with this much more?
You got a couple more in the tank, I'm sure.
I'm not letting go of this ball yet. There'll be a lot of people claiming the job's not for them. It's for a friend. There'll be a lot of people who have already got jobs but are just looking for something on the side. My current employer doesn't understand me. But overall, I think it's a great idea. I think it could work, and I think it could be quite a money spinner for the CES. You know, they could put one of those blokes out the front. Hey, you, come inside. You like jobs? You ain't seen jobs like this before. $10, get your first interview free. Hey!
Radio Gladiator.
That looks good on him is you here at Martin Malloy.
And now on Martin Malloy, it's time to visit the Animal Hospital.
G'day. This week, we'll be popping out to the farmyard to meet a duck with a bad case of smoker's cough. A cow suffering from Tourette's syndrome. And sadly, a turkey with very little hope of recovery. Plus, we'll be hooking up with a couple of our old favourites, including Blimpy, the lactose intolerant cat.
Somebody open a window.
Oh, oh. And of course, the ever affectionate Humpy.
Okay. Okay, that's enough, Humpy.
Humpy, I said that's enough.
Bucket of water. Yeah, bring the bucket.
Oh, look, we might just welcome our guest veterinarian, Dr. Rick Parfitt.
G'day, Mick. How are you?
Good. That's it, guys. Yeah, try the crowbar. Dr. Rick,
I'd like you to take a look at this report from Animal Hospital's Tony Martin.
Thanks, Mick. They say the humble dog is man's best friend. But even your best friend can come down with a mystery illness, which is exactly what's happened to Mr. Fluffy here. In fact, you could say he's had a dog of a day.
Well, he's been like this for 3 days now, listless. As you can see, he hasn't touched his food.
Yep, this is one dog's breakfast that isn't being cleaned up in a hurry.
He just lies around the house.
Dog tired, as it were.
I mean, there's nothing to say, really, except...
Doggone it. Yes, it seems that for this pooch, it really is a dog's life. Back to you, Mick.
That's got him. Well, Doctor, you've seen the footage. What do you make of that case?
Well, it's a tough decision, but I think we're going to have to put Tony down.
Really?
Yep, going by what's on that tape, I think, yes, it's the only answer.
And Mr. Fluffy?
Oh, he'll be fine, just a bit of distemper, I think.
Great, sorted, and we'll be back in a moment.
Next on Animal Hospital, it's Mick Molloy with his hand up a cow's bottom.
How are you going up there, Mick?
I can't, Tone. Can't I play the rest of the round with one of your balls?
There it is. Change the World from... that's from the new John Travolta film. Phenomenon.
Phenomenon.
Which is
dragging them in.
It is indeed.
Got the Gump crowd.
It's got the big Gump audience. It's bitten into that Gump pie.
Mm.
And also, that was Eric Clapton. I should just mention that. Mm.
Clappers.
That's right. Clappers.
Could be our next head of the Reserve Bank.
I hope so. Because when it's bad news, you can just whip out the guitar, do a bit of unplug, and you wouldn't notice.
You'd get the drift.
All right. Well, in the next hour of this program, we're going to have true confessions. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
And yesterday, the listeners came good.
Mm.
We had a bloke who impersonated a police car.
Mm.
We had a woman who made a dog food pizza for somebody.
Correct.
Very unpleasant. But what about Peter Rosethorne? He went to
possibly the most unpleasant of all.
You know, it takes a lot to make us feel sick on our own program, but I think he did it. He went to town on his grandfather, who's luckily... well, for this point of view, he's luckily no longer with us from that point of view.
Good.
But, I don't know. I don't know. I wouldn't want to be at the next Peter Rosethorne family dinner, that's all. Very unpleasant.
Yep.
In the next hour, we'll do it all over again, and Richard Neville will be joining us. He's got a new book out. He's on for a bit of a chat.
Always
on for a bit of a chat. One of the first guests we had on the program.
Mm-hmm.
And what's going on in the world of science, Mickey? New developments, because we've had some great inventions.
Mm-hmm.
Just in the last couple of weeks, we've heard about the police in America are developing a static electricity ray gun that blows the engine out of a car that they're trying to chase that I can't wait to see. It's going to make stealing a police car so much more fun. Just cruising the street looking for Volvos.
Yep.
That's what I'll be doing. Then we had the paint-on condom.
Oh, yeah.
Been a lot of talk about the paint-on condom.
They got kind of blown off the front page by Life on Mars, unfortunately, so I don't think it was truly recognised.
Yeah, And nobody's really talked about getting them off, you know, because you got the paint-on condom. Do you have to go the paint strip? That's an issue that's yet to be addressed.
Lots of sanding.
What next?
Well, have a listen to this. Scientists are making a computer chip that records thoughts and feelings over a lifetime while implanted behind a person's eye.
Oh, is that good?
Yeah. Well, it depends on how you look at it, really. They say on the internet's Electronic Telegraph that within 30 years it will be possible to relive another person's life using a computer to replay their experiences. So you put the chip in behind your eye, it records everything you do.
Everything?
Everything you do, and when you come back and you're finished and you want someone to record it, you put it into your little microchip player and bang, your life passes before your eyes. Other people, you'll have a video library full of people's lives. If your life's interesting, well, it'll be on overnight loan.
So you go down to Video Easy and go, have you got Robert Downey Jr.? I'm afraid it's out. It's booked out for the next year. It's a top view, apparently.
It's out. And all the highlights of his life, like, you know, walking out of court with a pillowcase on his head, those bits are always kind of scratchy because people keep rewinding those highlight parts.
Could you fast forward through the boring bits? You know, just Robert Downey on the corner waiting to score? Could you just for hours of that just sort of fast forward?
Absolutely. But that's how it works. Your life can flash before your eye. I take umbrage, though, because they're claiming it's new technology.
technology. Could be available soon. Sorry, I've been wearing one of these suckers since day dot.
Have you?
Behind the eye, and I'm quite prepared, if you help me out, Tone, to play it for you now. Just give us a quick poke in the eye, would you?
All right. Here we go.
Here we go. There's the little chip right there. Gracie, take that and whack that in the machine and let's give it a play. This is my life highlight.
Oh, piss off, creep.
Come out now with your hands up.
Stick it, copper. Widgie!
We find the defendant guilty.
No! You're fired.
Bucket of Kentucky.
Light beer?
Must change underpants.
Come on, here you go. What about that?
Bit lower, bit lower. Do you know who I am? I'm Mick.
Hey, buddy, you want fries with that?
I love the way you've toned it down. You've cleaned it up for public consumption.
Brings a tear to your eye, doesn't it, Tone?
It certainly does.
I'm going to be sorely missed.
All right, well, you... If you'd like to hear the unexpurgated version, I'm sure we're going to have it available on the next album. But anyway, coming up next, it's Radio Gladiators.
This is Martin Malloy, brought to you by Powerade Tidal Burst.
This is Martin Malloy, and this is...
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Yesterday on Radio Gladiators, the phones blew up. So many people were trying to get through. The phones just gave up ghost, caved in, imploded, and smoke was coming out of them, and the bomb defusal squad were called.
He's not exaggerating.
And why? What was the topic? What was the thing that got people going?
Complaints. Oh, offensive television.
That's right. Offensive television. Probably the topic which has aroused the most interest in the 2 years we've been doing this.
Correct.
And why? Well, it all started because the Salvos were bagging Seinfeld. And it seems that wasn't the only thing offending people on the telly. So we've been forced to extend. The season has been extended for this topic. We're going to do it again today. We want you to call us up with things that offend you on the telly. And I know there's a program on tonight that offended a lot of people last week. It's called Sex Life. It's one of these sexual instructional kind of medical programs.
Oh, yes, very serious.
And Totty Goldsmith is involved. And apparently there were a record number of complaints or something like that. It said in the paper because they broadcast an image of what was described as a male sexual organ in a state of arousal. Now, I tuned in and I saw that. I got confused. I'm going, hang on, it's another 2 weeks before Peter Costello announces his budget. What's he doing on now?
I was confused. I thought it was a Mr. Squiggle. I was waiting for them to turn it upside down. I've been half an hour puzzling over it.
Anyway, that's something that offends people. Seinfeld's offending people. Yesterday, we I think the winner was someone who gets offended by David Hasselhoff trying to hold his stomach in all the time on Baywatch. So it can be something small like that. It can be something big. And it just has to offend. It could be an ad. It could be something. Anything else that's getting you goat on the telly, Mickey?
Well, I've got to say, this is what I find offensive is, and I don't mean any offence by this, but you'll find all around the country in different states, you've got your own, they're like road traffic authority ads. And they depict scenes of graphic violence, and it's actors off the leash. Yeah. They're made for actors. Oh, you know, it's the plum gig. You get to do your real tour of, no! I'm so tortured. Bikini. And this goes on. Now, they are not a bad idea, and they make their point. But when you're, say, watching the cricket, a day of test cricket, and they play ads at the end of every over, they think, that's their target market. Who watches cricket? Well, young white males between the ages of 80 and 36, they're the high-risk category. Let's bang them in every break. Let's bang them in. They have them every 2 minutes between overs. It's bang, bang. By the end of it, I'm laughing at the kid dying. I'm going, die. Yes, get run over again. I don't care. You're working out how they're doing the ad. You don't care about what the ad means. No. They ruin sport. Yeah. It's like those mind association things. Have you seen the Clockwork Orange? Seen them when they're sitting there with the eyelids pinned open and have to watch scenes of graphic,
violence associated with sex, so they'll never do it again. I go and see the cricket now, and all I see is kiddies dying. All I see is kiddies under cars. All I see is actors going the ham. It's a disgrace. Yeah. That is offensive.
That Clockwork Orange eye business, that's how people have to get me to watch the cricket.
I have to say.
But, you know, you're right about actors off the leash. There's one which I think is shown in Victoria. I'm not sure if it's shown everywhere else, where a combi van, blokes falls asleep at the wheel of a combi van, and the van just goes sideways into a truck, huge truck, devastation, terror. Mm. And the bloke driving the truck gets out, and clearly, I think he's a proper truck driver because he's been involved in a stunt, so he's probably not an actor.
Mm.
And the director's obviously shouting out, OK, you've seen the combi van, you're shocked. And he sees, and it's the biggest ham you've ever seen. And it's a one-off. They've done the stunt. They can't film it again. He says, oh. And his shoulders drop. It's the hammiest bit of body acting.
It's like he's got a puncture.
Exactly.
All of a sudden, he just starts deflating.
All right, them serious ads
but
on during
I,
the...
But can I stress, it's time after time. You'll see it 30 times in an hour. Yeah. I swear, I am not exaggerating.
But it blunts
it's just
the,
offensive.
Blunts the effect of the ad,
that's
I'm
it.
Thinking. And here's something else. I was watching Australia's Funniest Home Video and show the other night. I'm not proud of that. But it was on. And what I love is most of the videos obviously come from America.
Mm.
But the ones in the competition can only be the Australian ones.
Mm.
So this, you know, and there's not as many obviously being sent in Australia, and some of the most incredibly pissy ones make it into that final four. I think the winner this week was just a couple of blokes in their underpants being paddled on the ass at a wedding. It was the seediest, most pathetic, and they're going, yes, the winner is Wicked Wedding.
And though I saw the end of that too, Tate, and the one that came third, I think, was like a bird that could talk. And they're going, here he is in third place, here he is. And it's like they've got a crow in a cage that goes, hello, Charlie. Oh, great. Well, I'll bring out the big check now. We've got a winner. But I'm thinking, you know, that's like at least less irritating than some of the voiceovers the guy does. I thought it was him at first. Hello, Charlie.
No, it would have been you dirty rat. Hello, Charlie, if it had been him. All right, there's a few things
it's
that
offensive
are
anyway.
Offending you on the telly. I think people at home are getting the idea now. Do we have a prize? Well, step into the gift love boat, if you will. As I inform you, we've got, Bolle Sunnies with your name all over them. They don't get any better in the Sunnies world than your Bolle's, and I think it's you choose the style as well.
I love them.
Yeah. So, also, you're going into the draw for the trip to Falls Creek, courtesy Qantas, courtesy Diana Lodge, courtesy Falls Creek itself, and courtesy GEBIS Ski Hire. Still no idea how it's pronounced.
Mm.
Let's call it Totty Goldsmith Ski Hire. And call us now with the thing that offends you on the telly. Same as yesterday. 1-800-657-657.
A special treat for the youngsters.
Martin Molloy on SAFM.
Closer to free, that's the Bodines. Here at Martin Molloy, where we're simply asking what offends you on the telly. That's the subject for today's Radio Gladiators once again, because we had a lot of calls yesterday. And I didn't realise we had as many elderly people listening to the program, but we've had a lot of calls. Tony Barber. You know.
Yeah, well, we've opened the floodgates there.
But it always sounds like the same bloke to me doing a voice. A bloke who used to have a mow, who's got a lot of spare time on his hands. But let's see what's offending
out. He took the mow off, Tate. He actually puts it over the receiver to disguise his voice.
I don't like Tony Barber. Give the other bloke his job back. By the way, you can contact him on...
All right, let's talk to the listeners, see what's offending them apart from us. Who have we got first, Mickey?
It's Roy. Hello, Roy.
How are you guys?
Good, mate.
I do live on the Gold Coast, but I'm not the guy with the moustache.
Oh, OK. You haven't seen the moustache out and about on the town all by itself, have you?
We did see him. He was going to the bank at Chevron Island, actually. I don't know how to figure that. He didn't have a mask on, but he was going to the bank.
OK, well, what's offending you on the telly, Roy?
Mate, the hypnotism shows. They're unbelievable.
Oh, the hypnotism shows.
We're talking creepy moustaches and beard ensemble.
We're talking about a guy that gets up in a monkey suit.
Yeah.
Pulls a few volunteers, we'll call them, out of the audience, puts them to sleep, and tells them when he's going to cough, they're going to dance like chickens, they're going to play tennis rackets and sound like guitars. I mean, are we going to believe this?
Yes.
We sit there for an hour and watch it. These guys, surely they've come from the Johnny Young Talent Time or Movie World or somewhere.
Yes, part of the problem with the hypnotism shows is you go, if they weren't hypnotised, this wouldn't be entertainment in any way at all.
I think that's probably right. I'll tell you, they work on me because they put me to sleep every time. They're unbelievable.
All right, well, thanks for that, Roy, and keep your eyes peeled at the Gold Coast for you know who. Now we'll talk to Kim. Are you there, Kim?
Yep, I'm here.
What's offending you on the telly?
Oh, I was watching Foxtel on Saturday night, and David Hasselhoff
Hasselhoff and his Baywatch friends in concert.
Oh, dear.
Oh, no.
Well, yesterday we had David Hasselhoff just on Baywatch sucking the stomach, and now we've got David Hasselhoff and friends in concert.
Kim, are you sure it was actual David Hasselhoff and the rest of the crew in concert? It just wasn't one of those hypnotist shows where the guy had told them they were all entertainers.
Oh, there was all these young girls and they were screaming and one fainted and David strutting around in his skin-tight pants was incredible.
And they were screaming and crushed in the rush
to get out, were they? To get away from the stage?
I know, if it was me, I would have been.
This isn't a very good promotion for Foxtel, I'm afraid, Kim. But guess what? We may have had Baywatch. We may have had Hasselhoff in concert, but guess what's coming soon? Baywatch Nights. Are you looking forward to that?
Oh, yeah, most certainly.
It's David Hasselhoff. He's got his own detective agency. And apparently, listen to this. This is true. Apparently, the first series hasn't worked, so they're doing a second series, and it's David Hasselhoff doing the X-Files. It's David Hasselhoff chasing aliens.
I'd like to see that.
She's laughing. She hasn't even seen it.
She's already laughing. Hours of fun on Foxtel for you there.
Oh, God.
Okay. Thanks, Kim. And now we've got Damon. Are you there, Damon?
Yeah, I'm here, fellas. How are you?
Not bad. What's offending you on the TV?
Oh, mate, I don't know if you guys saw it or not, but I was absolutely repulsed at the sight of Bruce McAvaney rubbing Michael Johnson's golden shoe all over his face and kissing it.
I didn't see it, but I heard a lot of talk about it in the office. It was it should have been on very late at night. That's what I heard.
I think he should have been rubbing Steve Monteghetti's after the marathon.
Yes, and what was he saying as he was doing it?
Oh, he could say too much, mate. He was busy with his tongue on the shoe, up and down the laces.
And do you think...
It was repulsive.
Have they gone on a honeymoon together, Bruce and the shoe? Do you know about that?
It has been reported missing, mate. I don't know where they are.
All right. Well,
Bruce later buried that shoe in his backyard.
All right. Thanks, Damon. Now we'll talk to James. James, what's offending you?
Rex Hunt.
Oh, Rex Hunt. Anything specific or just in general?
Oh, just the way he kisses his fish.
Oh, yes, it's...
He's a dirty, rotten kiss fisher, isn't he? I've always said that about Rex.
And do you think he uses the word magnificent enough?
Oh, pretty much.
Yeah, there's always quite... Everything magnificent to Rex these days.
Would he kiss Michael Johnson's shoe?
I don't know.
Would he go the McAvaney?
I don't know. Mm. If it was up to speed, you know, if it was up to the right size,
right.
If it was below 8.5, he'd have to throw it back, you see.
Okay, I'm with you.
That sentence eventually came out. Thanks, James. And now we'll have Scott. Are you there, Scott?
How are you?
Not bad. You got something on your mind, a disturbing image on the telly. What is it?
Yeah, it's Baywatch trying to revive somebody on the beach, doing CPR and EAR.
Right. Now, have you got some sort of qualifications in this area?
Yeah, I'm accredited with a workplace level 2 first aid certificate.
Right. But do you have plastic breasts?
How do you look in togs?
Oh, I've blown up the doll a few times.
Right. And so you're suggesting that those people on Baywatch are not performing realistic procedures.
Exactly. They're showing the public different types of... They're doing it all wrong. If someone falls, collapses in the street and the public watch Baywatch and they go and try to revive someone, they're going to do it wrong.
They are. Mm. They're going to go, that person's drowning quickly, I'll run up the street in slow motion.
Yeah.
That'll take me for hours. Oh, I don't think people actually watch Baywatch for, you know, the safety measures and its ability to instruct. But, you know, you may raise a fair point. I mean, if they're going to suggest that this is the way to revive people and, you know, in the course of resuscitation, you know, Hasselhoff sticking the tongue in, I think that is grounds for complaint.
Yeah.
But apart from that aspect, do you enjoy the program, Scott?
I don't watch it now.
Oh, okay. Turned off and discussed.
Mm-hmm. We've got Galaxy.
Have you seen any other instances on the telly of safety procedures that send out the wrong message?
Oh, just the Red Cross and all that, trying to get people to do their course and all that. They're showing an incident and they can't do it on live people.
Right. What about Mr. Bean trying to bring that bloke back to life with the jumper leads in his car?
The telephone bowl.
Can you endorse that?
No.
Okay.
You know, I fell for that.
Jumping off the ambulance.
Very seedy incident.
Very bad example for the keys. I'm picturing the cast of Baywatch watching Scott in a first aid video going, look, you can't even see his butt cheeks. All right. Well, we've had two Hasselhoffs and some others. Which is our winner? Do you think Roy?
Maybe Roy with a hypnosis.
All right, Roy with the hypnosis.
That's pretty offensive television tone.
Okay, blokes acting like chickens, fair enough. Okay, Roy, you've got the bolle sunnies. And
is Roy with us?
He's gone already. You know what he's gone? I can't beat the two times Hasselhoff.
There's no way I'm hanging up. Well, call
us
back.
Hasselhoff.
Roy, you have in fact won, so call us back. You've got the sunnies. You've gone into the draw for the trip to Falls Creek. It's a hypnosis-free zone up there, I'm told. Mm-hmm. And join us after the news, people, if indeed news is going out in your state. I'm not sure if that happens everywhere, mm-hmm. but anyway, we'll be back in the next hour with Richard Neville.
This is Martin Malloy.
Don't worry yourself too much over them. I know they will be fine.
Brought to you by Powerade Tidal Burst. Green and it's powerful.
And in this hour of Martin Malloy, we'll bring you the results of the Martin Malloy Census. We'll send out the call for true confessions. And next up, Richard Neville's on for a yak, all thanks to Powerade Tidal Burst.
Sweet. Here at Martin Malloy, it's the second hour. And Mickey, I know you can't go by polls. They're not necessarily accurate. Mm. But for the last 2 days, we've been doing this thing on Radio Gladiators. Yep. What offends you on the telly? Mm. Hasselhoff. That's all I'm hearing. Hasselhoff, 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 mm. Hasselhoff.
I need a Hasselhoff chip.
He's by far in the lead, but anyway, let's get a bit more upmarket now, shall we?
Please.
Never works, but we'll give it a go. Our guest today, well, he was one of our very first guests on the show. He's the notorious former editor of Oz Magazine and the author of a very lively account of the 1960s called Hippie Hippie Shake. He's got a new book out. It's called Out of My Mind, but if he thinks it's going to get the serious analysis it deserves on this program, he's got another think coming. Let's have that think now with Richard Neville. Richard, thanks for coming in today.
Pleasure to be here.
Now, before we get to your book, we're asking all our guests on the show this week, have you been out on the back on the trampoline, Paul Keating style, unclogging your arteries?
I have been on the trampoline, but what I was unclogging was not arteries.
Oh, really? Yeah. I see. Is that what he was up to?
There you go. There's another theory thrown into the ring.
Do you think there's anything in Paul Keating's theory? I mean, you'd be the man to know, I'm guessing.
I think I think somebody was trying to destroy Keating's reputation. They're going to succeed. He'll be dismissed as a real mystic wacko now. That's the end of him. Yeah.
Yeah, all right. That hat made out of beaks, that was the giveaway. Wasn't it? We should have pinged then.
Now, what about, here's something that must be exciting you, Richard, life on Mars. There's a bit of talk about it. Somebody found a rock that was, I don't know, there was a bit of snot on it or something, and apparently suggests an entire civilization elsewhere.
It's incredibly unconvincing, I think, somehow, this kind of minuscule fossil that nobody could ever see, and everyone's jumping up and down about it. Yeah. Now, this will be probably another great illusion, somehow. I won't believe it until there's a shopping mall on Mars.
Exactly, so you can get those overhead Optus cables.
That's it. Then we could be destroyed.
Until Rupert Murdoch's got his flag up there.
Nothing exists until Rupert discovers it and then destroys it, of course.
We don't exist, Richard. Now, we want to ask you, here's a question for you, here's a big one. The counterculture, you're always on about it. Where is it? Does it still exist? Is there any sign of it? Has someone found a rock?
I think anything that defies civilization is a counterculture, so you two are very much part of it.
Oh, really?
Okay. Wrecking Western civilization.
So hang on, the counterculture's playing Bryan Adams music these days.
That's it. Can't get enough of it.
Where do you go? Where is it?
Look, there's a lot of different cultures. Maybe you can go up into the rainforests of North Queensland and be, you know, put on a kind of lot of leaves and be a tree for a while.
Right.
Or stop a bulldozer or save a whale.
Right. What about on this internet that you mentioned the internet in your book a bit? What do you make of it? Is it a counterculture or is it just a lot of confusing talk?
It was anarchy, really exciting anarchy, which is now being corporatized. I mean, now everyone's realized that this is a huge marketplace, at least they're hoping it's a huge marketplace, and they're taking it over. So it's like Mars will be, internet now is being filled with billboards and brand names. But if you can weave your way through that, there's a lot of quirky, strange people who would normally be locked up, and they're on the internet. And if you want to have conversations with those minds, you can.
Does anything surprise you these days, Richard, because you've seen it all? Are you getting blasé?
No, I think I'm constantly surprised by the unexpected when I could find it. I think it's just a matter of keeping your enthusiasm about life. It has that kind of awful calcified sense of boredom and ennui and irony that your generation is so expert at projecting, hasn't yet struck me down yet.
But you know why we do that, don't you? It's because everyone who was around in the 60s keeps going, it's not as good as it was in the 60s. It's not as good as it was in the 60s. So we're frightened to have an actual life, Richard, do you understand? Because nothing's ever going to be as good as it was in the 60s.
And that's why we've got Peter Costello. That's why we've got Peter Reith representing us.
Hello, Amanda Vanstone. We blame you.
Hey, listen, if you read Hippie Hippie Shake, you will find that the 60s 60s were not quite what they were cracked up to be, not even by me.
Tell us about your time in jail. You spent 15 months in jail.
It was 15 days.
Oh, 15
yeah,
days?
In a British jail where I met lots of Australian burglars. It was like being back in Sydney.
It was an expat situation, wasn't it?
They'd go to India, they'd read all these posh English magazines and get the addresses of the houses, and they'd rob the houses. Never let your house be photographed in a magazine. That's how, yeah, that's how they get robbed. Okay. So I know I learned a lot.
Mm.
Yeah, really. I learned in a jail that a fingerprint could be moved. There's all this bullshit about fingerprints tell you who the culprit is. Absolute nonsense. You just put some Johnson's baby powder on top of them, some sellotape, and you can move your fingerprints.
You can move your fingerprints.
You can move your Yeah, this comes in handy.
I think. I'm thinking of a practical application for that.
Oh, I don't think you'll have any trouble.
That's the first Tonya Todman-style tip we've offered our listeners all year.
There you go.
Move your fingerprints with what? Just get this right, because I don't want people sending in for the fact sheet with a piece of sellotape.
And some Johnson's baby powder. Yeah. You put the powder out, and you can move it so you could, you know, the crime scene can take on a whole new shape.
Right. You didn't steal that painting down in Melbourne, did you? That Picasso. That wasn't you, was it, Richard?
Hey, why am I going to confess on your show without a big, fat check in advance?
All right. Well, Richard, I think you can see the intellectual camping ground at which we've pitched our tent. Would you like to stick around for a bit more camping?
A pleasure.
That'll be next on Martin Molloy. Hi, it's Alanis Morris. Set you ought to know here at Martin Molloy. Richard Neville is with us today. He's moved on from the 60s with his new book, Out of My Mind. What's it all about, Richard?
Since the end of the 60s, I mean, the 60s did end, even for people like me.
Yes.
And from the 60s to the 90s, I've written various pieces for all kinds of magazines all over the world. And naturally, being a megalomaniac, I wanted to put them together inside one particular set of covers. And it answers the question, whatever happened after the 60s are over, which I know you've been tossing and turning about for years.
Yes. What
it discusses everything from, you know, cyberspace, the love life of bees, bushfires in the Blue Mountains, the cosmic consciousness, politics, the Gulf War, and it looks at these issues from an alternative point of view.
Any trees amongst the forest? Any big issues that you think have been crucial to Australian culture?
Yeah, well, I think rescuing the environment. I mean, I think Australia's played a fantastic role. Australians, yeah, this is not so much top from the government, but kids out there really understanding that, like, when I grew up, the future we took for granted. Mm. Now we don't anymore. It's got to be rescued. Some people have already started to rescue the future. So I'd say that is a huge issue. Mm. And the future generally, the whole idea that it's getting faster and faster and faster. I mean, life's getting very uncertain and volatile for a lot of people. There's a lot of fear around. So how do you bring a bit of optimism back into the future and to actually start, hey, that's where we're going to spend the rest of our life, start actually working out what sort of future we want. So that's the biggest issue in the book.
Mm-hmm. Does it leave you an optimistic person when you get to the end of this, Richard? Because I know you're looking forward to the turn of the millennium. What will you be doing on that night, and is it worth waiting for?
As long as they don't have the bloody Rolling Stones playing at the party. Yeah, look, the party will be great if we work hard between now and then, even with just our imaginations. The third millennium can be terrific, but if otherwise it'll be a catastrophe. If the grey suits and short hairs win, not even you will be around. You'll be cut.
Would you like to see an Australian head of state? Would you like to see a president in that millennium, or is that just a sidetrack?
I think inevitably we'll become a republic, we'll become part of Asia, but the thing is not to be part of the values of workaholia of Asia. I'm getting really sick of this idea that we've all got to be like the Asian tigers and we're faster and faster and make more and more money. I like our pace. I like the kind of, you know. I sat on a tour bus with a lot of Japanese tourists in Sydney once, and I had an interpreter with me. Mm. And as soon as we started driving through the city streets, the woman, the Japanese woman at the front, telling her Japanese tourists, look at the way Australians walk. They're actually going to work. Look how slow they're walking. You know?
Right?
Yeah, that's right. But I realise that I like the way they walk. I don't want to speed up. And I think that in years to come, all these burnt-out cot cases from the Asian tigers will come to Australia to be kind of psychologically retooled.
To take a chill pill.
That's right. Now, this will be the great chill-out land of the next millennium. I like that.
Everyone's going down Australia for
that's
a bit
right.
of a crash out.
That's it.
Now, Richard, where did the 5-day week, 2-day weekend concept start? Have you got any idea at all? Because I reckon it's wrong. I reckon that formula's wrong. I think there should be a 4-day weekend and a 3-day weekend.
We missed that meeting, didn't we?
Everyone just goes along with the 5-day week, 2-day weekend. Nobody ever questions it. Where did it come from?
The Industrial Revolution, I think. Before that, it was just kind of lots of working bees and, you know, people baking mead and perhaps having an idyllic time in Nevada. But I don't... Factories.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's hideous and terrible. No, we tried to end it in the 60s, I must say. But we just took lots of drugs, but somehow...
I see.
9 to 5, but still here, Monday to Friday.
I can't see John Howard adopting that policy if Richard's there, but, you know, it's worth the bill.
So I think you're being too quick to judge.
Now, you've got some little factoids in the back of your book. Most adults can recognise over 1,000 brand names but can't name five locally growing plants. That's absolutely true. I couldn't name one locally growing plant. I think I'm from New Zealand. Do you have the punga here?
Not even marijuana.
I can name the ones growing in my shower. Beyond that, I wouldn't have a clue.
But that's completely true, that we have incredible literacy about advertising symbols, but we know nothing really about how, you know, nature functions, because it's not, you know, it's not sold in shopping malls. And we've got to move from electronic literacy to biological literacy. We don't even know how kind of why frogs are disappearing, or we can't even predict the harvest yields of fisheries. And yet, we know more about Bill Gates's level of incomes and private life than will ever be of use to us whatsoever. So really, it's a matter of focus, because the people in charge of focusing our consciousness own the media.
As a result of this, I can name 20 supermodels, but I couldn't tell you more than about five Australian prime ministers. It's just a lot of rubbish going on upstairs, I'm afraid. What about your kids, Richard? You've got a couple of kids, I understand. What do they make of you?
They find me in hideous embarrassment. It's true. They can't stand me. When I meet the bus, when my daughter comes home from school, when she gets off the bus, she sees me across the road, she covers her head with her hands and walks the other way. This is not a joke. And kind of by accident, when I was writing the other book, Hippie Hippie Shake, she went down to my study and she flicked through the school kids' Oz, which started the whole trial. And later on she says, Dad, you know that issue of that magazine Oz I was just reading? Was that the one that they sent you to jail for 50 months? I said, yes, I'm afraid it was. She said, God, the judge was right, Dad.
Not long enough. Should have thrown the book at you. You should be there now.
Well, Richard, all the best of luck with Out of My Mind. And it's a top read. And thanks for coming in and opening the mind for us today.
You've both been out of your mind for a long time. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
It's China Phillips here at Martin Malloy. And thanks very much to Richard Neville for dropping by. And both the books we were talking about there, Out of My Mind and Hippie Hippie Shake, are out in paperback. And both pretty darn good.
They're good reads. They're good, like, social barometers of a time, aren't they?
Yeah, they are, Mickey. And he brought up a point there. He was saying the native plants business and naming brand names and stuff. I can't name five native plants, but I'll tell you what, I can name about 60 Batman villains. But, you know, they're more fun than native plants.
Well, why don't they name native plants after Batman villains?
Exactly.
Oh, look at that. It's a lovely Riddler.
See, the young folk would be able to name the native plants if they were named after members of Take That.
See?
Go out and see how the Gary Barlows are doing. Go and mow the Robbie Williams. They'd be into
it. Not again, Dad.
So maybe it's just all about semantics. Mm. I don't know, but...
good books, though. Go and have a read.
It's not up to us to know the names of native plants or anything useful, because we've got Pete Smith to do all that for us.
Correct.
And, Pete, what's happening now?
Got something you want to get off your chest? Well, now's your chance, because it's time for Martin Malloy True Confessions. Maybe you've been parking in a loading zone. Perhaps you cheated on your census form. Or maybe it's just that you were the inventor of acid wash denim. Everybody has a guilty secret, but only Mick and Tony are giving you the chance to fess up and bag yourself a fabulous prize.
My girlfriend had this boyfriend, and he sort of like went out and done the dirty on her and was with another woman.
Nice.
So she thought, okay, that's fair enough. She got a chance to pay him back. One night she was cooking him tea, and she decides to make pizza. But instead of using actual ham or meat, she used a nice can of chum.
Oh, dear! Making it the pizza so chumpy you can carve it.
And she put the toppings over the top, cooked it. He eats a lot.
Runs out, takes a dump in the backyard.
Three confessors enter the booth, but only one emerges with the George Michael 3.5 pack of CDs and goes into the drawer for a trip for two to the UK to see George Michael live in concert. All thanks to Foxtel's Red Music Television. Okay, lads, let him off the hook.
Thanks, Pete. That is a fantastic idea of yours, Mick Malloy. Name the native plants after Batman villains. That's an Edward de Bono idea,
There you go.
So you'd see people, the kiddies would be out in the street protesting, save the eggheads.
Oh, no, kids just scarped over my back fence and took all my King Tuts. I'd call the cops, but you're not allowed to keep King Tuts.
Don't walk on the Mr. Freezes. Oh, look, we'll go too far with this in a moment and somebody will get hurt. Now, can we wheel out the booth, Gracie? It's the Martin Malloy Confession booth. Let's step inside. And this is a confession that we prepared earlier.
That's the best way of putting it.
It's not a live confession, but let's open the slidey door and meet our mystery confessor.
Hi, Mick and Tony. This is Daniel Kowalski here, and I confess to you, during the Olympics not so long ago, during the men's basketball quarterfinal against Croatia, I illegally borrowed Coach Brett Brown's security pass to get into the game, knowing too well, amidst all bomb threats and high security, that if I got caught with this pass, I'd more than likely end up in jail. And luckily for myself, I didn't get caught with the pass. And what was even better, the Boomers won the game. So what a great time I had.
You might have had a great time, but what a disgusting performance.
That's a very poor example.
Yes, yes. I'm sure the Prime Minister wouldn't want to be sitting next to him now. He'll have to give those medals back.
I hope they've got a podium in jail, young man.
Because that's where you'll be receiving all your medals from now on.
But thanks for that, Daniel. And Daniel will be joining us live on the program, I think, next week sometime.
Can I call him Killer?
Can you?
For the entire interview. Can I call him Killer?
Killer Kowalski.
Killer Kowalski. So Killer.
What's up to there?
But yes, to get you in the brain buster.
All right.
Got to go all the way with that idea. Right, Daniel has provided us with an example. That's what we want from you people. Some sort of confession. Not necessarily something serious that's going to result in a lengthy trial. It can be something little. Call us up with your confession, 1-800-657-657. Thank you, Gracie. On the pipe organ here at Martin Molloy, where it is indeed time for true confessions. Members of the general public owning up to their darkest secrets on national radio.
That's the guts of it.
I think that's pretty much the picture I've painted it for you.
Yep.
Let's go into the booth, shall we? Let's open the first slidey door. Let's meet the first Fessor Uppera. Who is it? It's Anne. Are you with us, Anne?
Yes, I am.
What have you got to confess to, Anne?
Well, my husband was a bit testy, cranky for a couple of weeks.
Oh,
and
dear.
I have done the odd thing to him when he's been like that. And I was running out of ideas. And then it came to me and I got an old cup, went into the toilet.
Oh, dear.
Scooped the water out of the bowl. Made him a cup of coffee.
Oh.
And sat down and watched him drink it.
Oh, damn.
And it was finger-licking good.
And he enjoyed his coffee, did he?
He did.
And how does he have his coffee? Half flush or full?
What I like, though, is this is only the latest in a series. What other things have you done in the past, Anne? Cut the brake cables on his car?
No. I painted a Gorbachev mark on his ball spot when he was asleep one night. And we called him Gorby for a week and he had no idea what was going on.
And what makes him cranky for periods of a fortnight? The
Probably
fact that
me.
You've drawn on his head. I see. And what about the toilet business? Is this the first he's heard of it, if he's listening today?
My family broke it to him, but only after I sworn them to secrecy, because my daughter started using words like typhoid and plague.
I see. So the family broke it to him as the bloke from the Ambo was fitting the stomach pump. All right, well, you've certainly confessed, Anne, but we might move on now. Let's open slidey door number two and meet Glenn. Glenn, what are you confessing to?
I used to have a company car, and given that it was a company car, you can do just about anything in it.
Yes, it's a rich Aussie tradition.
Yes. I used to live down the down a dirt road. Well, it wasn't a dirt road, but it's been recently resurfaced.
Right, out in the Wop-Wops, out in the countryside?
Sorry?
Out in the countryside, that kind of thing?
The South Gippsland area.
Yeah, right.
So, and they put, there was sort of loose gravel on top, which made it a bit treacherous, but of course, that didn't put me off.
Right, okay.
And I had my time trial thing going where I had to sort of beat the previous record.
You're a one-man Dukes of Hazzard, are you, Glenn?
I was at that stage. Right. Anyway, it was very bad light, but that didn't slow me down either, and there was this bull that was walking across the road.
Was there?
Yeah. Anyway, he didn't give much, and I didn't see him, so we met, and I hit him.
Oh, dear. And was it just stakes everywhere?
Well, that wasn't the problem, because he ran off, and the car was wrecked.
Yes.
And I was too. And, the insurance and the police and my employer, I told them all I was doing 60 Ks, and they were all very, very upset and worried about me. But the confession is that I was actually doing 140.
Glenn,
you've just knocked it in half.
Yeah, well,
the bull was doing 140, I suppose. Oh, you'll never believe it. The bull came out. It was like a flash of light. It was a very fast bull.
Glenn, are you aware that this program goes out?
No.
You know, you're not just... I hope you didn't think you were just calling up two blokes. Has this gone out to the nation? Well, Glenn, that's quite a confession, if indeed Glenn is your real name.
He's hit a bull.
He's out.
And then spun a load of bull.
Exactly.
And he's could be in even more trouble.
He's out in the back blocks creating hamburgers in his own special way as our Glenn. But let's talk to Joe now. Joe, are you with us?
I am.
Where are you calling us from, Joe?
Wollongong.
Wollongong. And what have you been up to that we should know about?
Well, I'm a bit of a teeny bopper.
Right.
I used to collect pictures from all sorts of magazines and put them in my spunk books.
The spunk books. How many of those have you got?
Ooh, about seven or eight, six or seven.
Seven or eight, like kind of like scrapbooks. And, okay, let's go back to volume one. Who's in there?
Oh, that would have a lot of wham in it.
I hope that never falls into the wrong hands.
And what else? Take Uncanny X-Men, you know.
Oh, keep naming them.
Yeah, Duran Duran.
Right. Howard Jones.
Oh, Howard Jones for sure.
Nick Kershaw.
Oh, yeah.
Kajagoogoo.
Oh, I don't know if I went that far.
Rawani.
Oh, definitely.
Lamal.
Oh, I don't think he was that much of a spunk myself.
So you're obviously keen on the early 80s. Mm.
Definitely.
And who was your later entrant?
I think I stuck with George pretty much.
George Michael.
I've still got a calendar on the wall.
What about Andrew Ridgely, that other one?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Well, that's quite a confession. Mm. Six or seven scrapbooks full of pictures of Wham. Is that our winner? I don't know.
I think we might go back to Anne. Oh, okay. Not only has she made a very dodgy cup of coffee, she's also pretty handy with the texter.
Exactly. It was the Gorbachev work that I think bagged it for you, Anne. Are you there?
Thank you very much.
And Glenn's was a fine one, but I think that'd make us accessories after the fact.
Oh, yeah. I want nothing to do with that.
All right. So, Anne, you've got the 3.5 pack of CDs. What will your husband make of that?
I think he thinks they'll be well paid. Better than 30 pieces of silver.
Oh, dear.
This isn't going to make him all grumpy for a couple of weeks, is it?
Yes, so I can do something else then.
All right, well, you call us in a fortnight with your latest effort. And you've also gone into the draw for that trip. It's 4-2 to the UK.
Thank you very much.
And we'll be drawing that next Friday, not this Friday, next Friday, and there'll just be 15 of you in the draw, so you're in with a chance. And thanks for playing True Confessions today. We'll be back with more confessions tomorrow. And until then, by the way, Anne's husband, if you're listening, just remember.
You got to accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, and latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In Between.
No, no.
That's Red Red Wine. UB40 here at Martin Malloy, and pretty much time to go. We will be, before we finish today, just giving you the full details of Martin Malloy Census Day, which is coming up very soon. It's very important.
Oh, yeah.
We want everyone to take part, so details coming up in a moment. But a few stories here. What about Colin Powell? Colin Powell, the most loved man in America, wouldn't run for president because his wife thought that he might get shot and there were a lot of death threats. So he said, okay, I won't get involved. Uh-huh. I'll sit up the back. I'll say nothing. And then they've got basically a dud, Bob Dole. The Republicans are gone. That's all we got, people. Yeah. Cupboard's bare. Bob Dole. Not going to last much longer. He'll get us over the finish line, but yeah, that's what we got, Bob Dole.
He comes out, drops his speech back in the cryogenic chamber.
But how's the way they're sneaking Colin Powell in the background? Because he's just, you know, as soon as he appears, it's just like they'll be at the rally, Bob Dole will be talking. Bob Dole, oh, God, it's crap, we're going to lose. And then, you know, out from the back behind the curtains, you know, Colin Powell just sticks the head round. And it's Colin Powell, he's there. He's not actually part of it. He's just popped round
you know, borrow the lawnmower, but he's in there. He's kind of linked to it.
All of a sudden, it's like Silverchair have appeared.
Exactly.
People are getting their ribs crushed in the front row.
Indeed. What else is big in the news? Jupiter. We're about to discover life on Jupiter. We found life on Mars. Mm. It's not very impressive, but it's definitely life.
It's just another planet getting on the life bandwagon. You watch the look come out of the woodwork now. Uranus. Oh, yeah, there'll be life there soon. Yeah. Pluto. Oh, yeah, all right.
Oh, apparently the moon up on Jupiter is it's just great for fishing. Rex Hunt's already planning a fishing adventure on Jupiter's moon.
Rex Hunt's fishing adventure. Let's put him in a capsule.
They'd take him to Jupiter. It'd be a new moon. It'd be a bold new kind of frontier, and he'd still just go, magnificent. Magnificent. And any other news? I've got nothing.
I've got a fess. I've got nothing.
Well, I've been...
There's nothing in the news.
Been following this story, and I can't actually find it, so I'll see if I can remember it.
Mm.
Lisa Hogan is this woman's name. She's an actress. She's been involved in a plane crash in England. Did you see this?
Yeah, she's a Learjet.
Taken off. Here's what happened. She's wandered on the set of the new John Cleese film, and so they've got her into a Learjet. The Learjet's taken off, and somebody's basically forgot to put enough gas in it.
Mm.
It's gone about 10 feet and crashed onto a freeway.
Mm-hmm.
She's climbed out of the wreckage completely unharmed, and everyone's going, actress Lisa Hogan, superwoman. And you know what her credits are, if you read the paper? She's done one day's work as an extra on an Australian soap opera. How's that for the best bolster of your resume?
What was she doing in a Learjet?
Where was she going?
Quick, get me to the set of Home and Away. Pronto.
But, you know, how's that for a publicity thing? There's heaps of people on Australian soap operas. They're on the TV. We cover all the time. I couldn't tell you their name. But Lisa Hogan, one day's work as an extra in the background, you know, in the calf on Neighbours. And we all know her name.
Are you sure she wasn't driving along the freeway in the car that hit the plane and then just got out of the wreckage going, oh, oh, no, I was on the plane.
Well, I don't know, but there's a name. There's someone who's going places. Follow her career. And do we have to go, Gracie? Yes, it's almost time for census details. So just before that, I'll thank our guests today, who were, of course, Richard Neville, all our gladiators, all our confessors. And we will be back tomorrow to wind up the week with young Steve Bedwell. And until then, people, here it is, that very important announcement.
Stop everything. August 26 is National Martin Malloy Census Day. The answers you provide are invaluable and will help us build a picture of Australia that will make it possible to plan for the future. And there's no frigging around with booklets either. All you have to do is answer a few questions when Mick turns up on your doorstep.
Hello?
Hi. Live here alone?
Yes.
Got a boyfriend?
No.
Are those breasts real?
Oh! Oh! That's a no, is it? Oh! Okay. I'm ticking the box mark no.
We will be relying on you and millions of others from every corner of Australia to provide us with vital information.
Yeah?
Hi. Have you got a VCR?
Yeah.
A stereo?
Yeah.
Keep much cash on the premises?
Yeah.
Right. What time will you be going out?
Oh, about 2:00.
Great. Do you leave any windows open?
One round the back.
Okay. Thanks for your help. Oh, is that your car parked in the drive?
Yes.
Okay. Bye.
All information we receive will be handled in the strictest of confidence.
Hello?
Hi, can you lend me $20?
No.
I can.
No.
How many bedrooms you got?
2.
Are they both being used?
Yes.
Damn! Have you got a couch?
Yes.
Do you mind if I crash on it for a couple of nights?
Thanks, asshole. Your name is going to be mud round these parts when I'm finished with you. You hear me? Mud!
So on August 26th, expect a visit from Mick and help with this most important of human stocktakes on National Martin Malloy Census Day, building a better Australia.
Hello.
Hi. Ever seen a grown man naked?
I'm ticking the box, Mark. No.
Martin Malloy is a misguided production in association with Half-Baked Ideas and Ill-Conceived Concepts Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Powerade Tidal Burst. Pete Smith speaking.